Well, amen. It is great to be with you today. Those of you who know me well know that I always love my drive to Brevard. You know, Brevard has kind of like been my place for a long time. And I got to get all positioned here because now that I've had surgery on my right eye, I cannot see anymore. Driving me insane. So I got to look like Mark, you know, up here at the over the top. So don't judge me. I still have hair on my head. He doesn't have any. So you can't put me down, but I got to look like Mark a little bit. I'm here for a couple of reasons. One, I want to give you a great message. And also, I want to give you another great message, some that I know are not the other message you're looking forward to. But here's the deal. I decided ahead of time, I'm going to give you the message you want to hear last. No, there's a reason. I want y'all to listen to the Word of God, all right? Because once I give you this announcement, if somebody's having a conniption fit, you're not going to listen to the Word of God. And I want you to hear what the Bible has to say. So here's the thing, and I really want you to hear this very seriously. This is a very, very, very important topic because this affects all of us. It's probably affecting you right now, a lot of you. And we're going to talk about times of testing that come into our life. Because no matter where you are in life, if you're not going through a trial, you're soon to go through a trial, or you're coming out of a trial. I mean, it's going to come, guys, and we need to talk about this. Some things have happened recently, even in Orlando, and we've had our share of them here, where you've had to really come to grips with what do I do with this test that God has brought into my life. So I want to give you, hopefully, a biblical way of looking at this. It could be health issues, financial issues, job situation, relationship challenges. Some of these things come unexpectedly, and some of them we kind of bring on ourselves, and some things really cripple us. You know, I guess I don't see Lisa, but, you know, obviously. Oh, there you are. Boy, you just sort of blended into the back, and I didn't see you, but there you go. But, you know, the kind of thing that cripples us is the sort of thing that happened to Lisa. I mean, all of a sudden your husband is no more. And we had a situation in Orlando. Some of you know Trey and Eileen Reed. They were on vacation in Costa Rica having a great time. And all of a sudden they got a phone call that their 36-year-old son was dead. And at that point, you don't care about vacation anymore. You don't care about much of anything. It's like, okay, what do I do with this? And we just had the memorial service for him. So some of the trials, some of the times of testing that come up, they can cripple you and cause you to look at God differently. These things happen to all of us. And I want to give you a biblical perspective about these things. So let's pray together and let's get into the Word. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to be together today. Thank you for the Brevard ministry. Thank you for every single person who's here. Thank you for the teens who are in Jacksonville at the retreat. Help them to have a great time. Thank you for the wonderful support of their parents for their spiritual well-being. Bless us as we get into your Word. Give us wisdom to really know how we are to look at the times of testing and trials that you bring into our life. Help us to see your will and to react in a way that would bring glory to you. Father, thank you again for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, turn to Luke chapter 8. That, of course, is a place where Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, or you could call it the parable of the soils, because there are different soils. There's the hard soil, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, and the good soil. And in verse 13, he talks about that second soil, and I want to read to you what Jesus says there. It says, "Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away." In the time of testing, he says, they fall away. There is a time of testing for all of us. It comes to every man, every woman's life, and especially if you're a disciple. You're going to go through times of testing because God has a purpose in those things. And I know, like I said, in this, because I know a lot of you, I know some of the tests some of you are going through because we've talked and we've shared tears together over that. Some of you may be going through something unique right now. Hopefully we'll give you a biblical perspective. Proverbs 17, verse 3, I'm going to give you two or three verses here to sort of set this thing up. Proverbs 17, verse 3, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. You know, even after we become Christians and we make that good confession and say Jesus is Lord, God's still going to test your heart. It doesn't stop just because you're now right with Him. He is going to test your heart. He wants to know, where is your devotion to Him? Where's your commitment to Him? How uncompromising are you going to be in your faith? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. It says we are trying to please God who tests our hearts. Wouldn't life be awesome if there were no valleys and no storms and no floods and no difficult times, and we can just sort of cruise through life and go from one degree of glory to the next? I mean, wouldn't that be great? Problem is, life ain't that way. Life is filled with tests that we have on a regular basis. What is the purpose of times of testing? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to give you a couple of purposes for these times of testing that we all experience. And we're going to look at Peter, because if anybody knew what it meant to be tested, our dear brother Peter went through it, didn't he? I mean, Jesus tells him, you know what, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, Lord, you don't know me. If anybody is going to be faithful, I will be faithful. I am your man. I will be there. And of course, he fell flat on his face. But Jesus said, but you know, you're going to blow it. But when you are converted, when you come back, strengthen your brothers. And so Jesus still believed in him after he had failed the test. But look at what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1. I think one of the reasons for times of testing is to purify our faith. To purify our faith. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You know how you get the impurities out of gold? You apply a little heat. You got to apply a little heat. And God is saying that I got to get the impurities out of your faith, and I'm going to do that by applying a little heat. I'm going to give you some rough times, and that's going to refine your faith. Look at James chapter 1. These times of testing purify our faith, but they also bring maturity when we stand the test. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy. And I say, wait a minute, God. I mean, when you go to the rest of that, he started, consider it pure joy. Now, how many of you, the last time, and maybe in the trial you're in right now, you said, Lord, I'm just loving this. Life is so good. I'm so filled with joy. I can't stand it. I mean, how many of y'all? Go put up your hands. I want to see the righteous ones among us. We got one. How many of you kind of said, well, wait a minute, God. This is really hard. I'm not sure I'm feeling this. I mean, how many of y'all really struggle with that? The rest of us, you know, maybe you're the only one going to make it to heaven, you know what I mean? But I love what he says, to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish his work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. you can't mature without times of testing. It won't happen. And I know we want to avoid it. That may not make you feel good, but that's the way it is. You won't get to the next level unless you learn to take the tests that God brings into your life. They help to mature you. And a lot of times we look at the outcome of some of these great people in the Bible. Like, how many of y'all know who Chuck Swindoll is? You ever heard that name?
Yeah.
I like listening to Chuck Swindoll. He has a statement. He said, the proclamation of God's word should never be boring. And he's a very, very good speaker. And so I listen to him from time to time. Well, he's been going through a series on Joseph. And don't you love the story of Joseph?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? Let me pick somebody. It would be like Trina. It'd be like Trina hanging out with the rest of us. And we know Trina. And Trina starts telling you about all these dreams she's having about how the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down to her. And I think she actually told me that before.
But
all of a sudden, Trina goes from being average disciple in Brevard County to being in the Oval Office.
Wow.
And so you look. And that's what happened to Joseph. He goes from being Joe average kid to now he's second to Pharaoh. And we love the outcome of this man's life. But what do we forget? We forget being sold into slavery. We forget being in a dungeon. We forget that he was wrongfully accused by Potiphar's wife. We forget him being in jail, helping the guys out, interpreting their dream. They get out, they still forget him. We forget all of that. Because all we like is the outcome. And that's normal for us to like that. But you got to go through the challenges before you get to the other side. You got to go through the test. Look at 1 Peter 1 verse 7 again. It says, these have come that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. How you deal with times of testing really is an opportunity for you to give glory to God.
Yeah.
You know, you look at marriage. Marriage. I mean, right now you may be feeling like, I'm going through a little something in the marriage, you know. In fact, on the way here, we had an argument. Now you're thinking, okay, who told them about me? You know, it's just that I know how we are. I'm a married dude myself, so I know how that one works. And you'll be thinking, you know what? My dream has become a nightmare. And all of this. Now you got three choices. I'm not going to say on the tape who just said talk about it. We're going to leave that one alone. But you think about it. You got three choices. You can either run away. Okay, you can do that, or you can decide that you're going to do the right thing. And the other thing you could do, or you can spend all your time complaining.
Wow.
You know, you can do that. You can run away, you can just complain, or you can decide to do the only thing you can do, and that is deal with yourself, because you can't change your spouse. You can do what you can do to fix you and prayerfully bring honor, praise, and glory to God. I remember my wife said something to me, and it was years ago now, and I didn't realize she had done this, but she realized that in our marriage, she would look at me and she would see qualities that other people had that I didn't have, and she spent all her time trying to remake me into the image of this. And then she finally came to a realization that this is what I was blessed with. No, she didn't say that. That's me. But she realized this is what I have, and I got to work with what I have and not try to make him into somebody else's image. Guys, you can only deal with yourself. She changed her attitude, and I'm not putting her business out there. This is just what she did. She was happier. Because all of a sudden, instead of focusing on all the stuff I was messing up on, she was just, you know what? I'm going to be content. I'm going to be the best wife I can be. Maybe it's health challenge, and I know we have those. God knows we have those. And same kind of thing. You can whine, You can complain, or you can say, you know what? I'm going to do the best I can to be the best disciple I can and show people how to bring honor, praise, and glory to God in a tough situation. I know that's what I feel like Wanda's done. We got some great examples of that here. I know Shawnee just had surgery, and except for her one day walking a little slower, I haven't detected anything but a good heart that you just embraced what you had to go through. That guys, I think that brings honor, praise, and glory to God. Anybody can grumble and complain, but it takes a bigger heart to do the right thing. Why are we tested? How are we tested? Let me answer that question. I think we're tested, first of all, by the trials that come our way. Some of these we can anticipate. Others you just don't see coming. I mean, literally, you can have one day where everything is going great. You're loving life. And the next day, it all breaks loose. Y'all know the phrase. I'm not going to say the word. But, you know, I mean, it could be, literally, that's the way it was for Trey and Eileen. One day they're having fun in Costa Rica. The next way it's like, what do you do? Happened to Lisa. Guys, it's going to happen again. I don't mean to sound like a prophet of doom, but how we deal with these things. Turn to Genesis 22. I want to turn to one of those tests that God brought Abraham's way. I think there's a reason why God calls Abraham the father of faith. Because a man is a model for us. He is an amazing model for us. Because he continually passed the test that God gave him. I mean, God says, you know, Abraham, I want you to go. Abraham says, okay, where do you want me to go? Just pack up and leave. That would be like him telling one of us, just get on I-95 and start driving north. And all my New York people say, but wait a minute, that'll take me back to New York. I'm trying to get away from that snow. It's like, God, you gotta talk to me. You gotta tell me something. I don't want to go back where I was. I'm in Florida now. But Abraham, the Bible says he just picked up and went. He said, where am I going? He said, I'll let you know when you get there. I mean, God has a sense of humor. Now at age 75, he comes to him, he tells him, you're going to have sand as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And folks, one of the reasons I love this is because I grew up on the beach. I grew up in Delray Beach. I was always 10 minutes from the ocean in South Florida. Always. And so when I would read that about the sand on the seashore, and my wife knows I'm very one-sided with certain things. Okay, sand on the seashore. I pick up a little scoop. I can't even count that. You know what I'm saying? So when God says it's going to be as numerous as the sand on the seashore, that one messes with my brain. It's like, I can't count that far, God. I mean, is he really going to have that many? And somebody finally said, Eddie, it's God's way of saying it's going to be a lot. And don't let it mess you up too badly, but I was struggling with that. But in Genesis 22, Abraham knows I can't have numerous offspring without offspring. So he doesn't have a kid. So now God promises him a kid. And Abraham's mindset is kind of like, okay, God, did you forget how old I am? There's a point where things don't work like they once did, you know, kind of stuff. And I'm always amazed that people try to tell God how to be God and he made us.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's kind of like he knows everything anyway, but somehow we forget. And God tells them they're going to have a kid. And y'all remember, what did Sarah do when she heard it? She laughed because she's old, you know, and all this stuff. And she's thinking, God, did you forget how this stuff works? You know, I mean, it works with these younger people and not with me. And God goes and said, well, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. I mean, I love how God just portrays us truthfully. I mean, you got to be pretty bold to lie to God. You know what I'm saying? But she was bold. So some of y'all women might be like that. I don't go there. But Genesis 22, verse 1. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Catch the word, tested. It's in the scripture. So don't run away, guys. You got to realize that sometimes you are tested. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Now, at this point, Abraham's over 100 years old. Child of promise, Isaac has been born. Verse 2. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Now, think about it. Does this make any sense? I mean, none at all. He said, through this kid, all offspring will be blessed. We are here because through that kid, we were blessed. So this makes no sense to him. But what does Abraham do? Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. That would have been a morning I'd be tempted to sleep in. But he got up. He didn't call anybody, didn't consult anybody. He didn't have a time of moaning and groaning and trying to figure out why. He just got up to do the right thing. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The wood and the fire are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Now, Isaac has seen Abraham do sacrifices before. He was very, very used to this routine. So he knew there should be something there, an animal, a bull, a goat, something to sacrifice, and there was nothing. So he's not dumb. He knows something is missing. And it's interesting, my wife and I took the time to watch a video that portrayed this scene. And if you can ever get your hands on a video that brings the scriptures to life for you, it's a good thing to do it, because just watching this video, we toyed with the idea of, you know, do we want to show it to some people? And we decided not to, because we felt like it would be too traumatizing for younger kids and even for some adults. Because if you picture the scene, Isaac is there, and, you know, and he's probably 14, 15 years old. Abraham wraps up a bundle of wood, and you see him placing it on his back, similar to somebody carrying a backpack. And he ties it on, and so you got Isaac walking along with this bundle of wood. And Abraham turns to his servant and said, "Look, we're going to go over there and worship. We'll come back to you," and all of that. And so they walk together. You see them walking together. And finally they get to the place, and they set up the altar. And Isaac's putting the wood all over the altar. And he says, "Father, it's ready." He says, "Father? Father? Father?" And Abraham's over here. He's just kind of looking away because he knows what he has to do. And it isn't easy. It wasn't easy for him. It wasn't easy for Isaac. And finally, Abraham comes over to Isaac and he grabs his hands to try to tie him up. And Isaac kind of like, whoa, what are you doing? Father, what are you doing? And he starts crying. He said, like, what are you doing? And Abraham drops to his knees. He's crying. Isaac's crying. And he said, "Look," he said, "Isaac, you're the sacrifice." And Isaac says, "But Father, why? Why me?" He said, "God told me." And it's like, and at that point I'm thinking, wow, God told me. I mean, that's not going to make sense to anybody on the planet. And then the next scene, they show Isaac very reluctantly with his hands together like this, walk over to his dad to let him tie him up. And then they laid him on the altar. And you see Abraham take the knife back. And right at the very apex, God says, "Abraham." And the knife just drops out of his hand to the ground. And he drops to his knees. And of course, we know how the story ends. He didn't kill him. And God, what was God's response? He said, "Now I know." Wow. Guys, this was not easy. And that's why I say, if you can, whatever helps you can do with your Bible study to bring this stuff to life, you have to let it happen. Because I've read that many times, and it's just easy to just sort of read over and we see the end of the story that it worked out. But that was a hard situation. You're talking about giving up your only son, and yet it was a test. It was what God chose to do to test Abraham. And in verse 12 of Genesis 22, it says, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And I think the point for many of us, I hope is clear, is that if you hold out on God, he will come after what you're holding on to. If there's something in your life that means more to you than God, he will come after it. Because he wants you to be saved. He doesn't want anything to come between you and your walk with him. And so the question I ask is, what is he doing with you? What is it with your time of testing? What is the thing? What is your Isaac? Is there something that you're holding on to? You see, trials test us. Trials test our hearts. They test our resolve. They test the purity of our hearts. They test the sincerity of our hearts. They test the character of our hearts. They test how deep is your love for God. How uncompromising are you willing to be about righteousness and truth? Trials will do all of that for you. My question is, do you believe that God is with you in the storm? In the middle of the storm. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is with you, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that God is going to? Do you believe that? Because if you do, you'll pass the test. And it doesn't really matter how much you come to church. God wants to know, is your Christianity genuine?
Yes.
Is it real? And I think a lot of time the basic test that a lot of people fail, and I see this a lot when we study the Bible with people, and I'm thankful that we do study, but is in just following what the Word of God says. The Bible's real clear. It's really interesting. I was with a guy just yesterday, and we were talking about the subject of baptism. You know, and what does Acts 2:38 say in response to what do we have to do? The people say, what do we do? What does Acts 2:38 say? Repent and be baptized. How many? Every one of you. How? In the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Very straightforward, right? Somehow this man looked at that verse and said, well, I don't think you really have to be baptized. I'm thinking, it's in the Bible. It's right there. How can you make this quantum spiritual leap from what's on the page to wherever you're going? And yet, that's where he's at. He feels like, I just think it's just faith. I said, well, what are you going to do with all the scriptures that talk about being baptized? Acts 22:16, what does that say? Anybody remembers? Y'all know it. And now, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. I said, okay, it says arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. So when you arise and you're baptized, what happens? Your sins are washed away. I said, you know, God isn't trying to fool us or trick us. He's making it clear for us. But I think a lot of people fail the test simply because we just don't do what it says. It's right there. And we say, well, he's struggling with baptism, struggling with his comprehension of something. No, he's just struggling with being obedient. That's all it is. Just do what it says. You say, well, I didn't grow up that way and all this kind of stuff. You know, I won't tell you the religion I grew up in, but, you know, the way I grew up, baptism was not a big deal in the church I grew up in. And in fact, one brother said that he was told he could be dipped, sprinkled, or dunked. Whatever he chose, you know what I mean? Now, when I got baptized, back in the day, a brother man had a fro. It was a nice fro. It was a good fro. I mean, my fro was better than the Paddocks. I'm here to say. And she would agree. But I had a nice fro. And you want to get as little water as possible in the fro, you know what I mean? So I probably would have chosen a little sprinkle option, just sprinkle me or whatever. But problem is, that's not what the Bible says. You just have to go with what the Word of God says. The other problem, I think, sometimes, other than just following what the Bible says, is that sometimes our feelings and emotions get in the way.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like I know I should forgive Doreen, but I don't feel like forgiving Doreen. It's like, get over it. You got to forgive the lady. You got to move on. And it's funny, too, with single people in Orlando especially, I see this every now and then. This happened recently. All of a sudden, this guy comes along, and I just feel like he's right for me. I just feel like he's the one. Now, he could have Satan written right here. But you don't see Satan. All you see is L-O-V-E.
Yeah.
I'm in love and all this. And really, you should be spelling D-E-V-I-L. But people don't do that. But our emotions can mess us up. It can really mess us up. Let me begin to wrap this thing up. If you're going through something, God is trying to refine you.
Amen.
He's trying to refine you. He's trying to mold you. He's trying to make you into someone who's going to give him praise and honor and glory. That's what he wants to do with your life. Don't let your time of testing cripple your faith. Don't let it happen. God may be trying to get you ready to be a Joseph and help a whole lot of people. I thought it was really amazing with this situation with Trey and Eileen. They, over the years, had become very close friends with Kevin and Odessa Merrigan.
Wow.
Kevin and Odessa, of course, lost a son.
Wow.
Fast forward 2 years later, now you got Trey and Eileen who lost a son. And it just so happened that they're great friends with the Merrigans. I don't know how God may choose to use this stuff. I'm not saying that's the reason why anybody's kid died, but I'm just saying God may be positioning you for something amazing where you can love up and show love to someone else. Trials test us, but time also tests us. Looking back at verse 13 of Luke 8, it said, "Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while. They believe for a while. But in the time of testing, they fall away." Another translation, this is called a voice. I like this. It says that same verse this way. "Others receive the message enthusiastically, but their vitality is short-lived because the message cannot be deeply rooted in their shallow hearts. In the heat of temptation, their faith withers like the seeds that sprouted in gravelly soil." Time tests us, guys. I mean, this stuff called Christianity, it's easy to do it for a week. You know? It's easy to do it for a week or a month. But how about for a lifetime? I mean, some of you, and if y'all don't mind being honest, some of you, when you got baptized, how many people maybe thought, I hope he makes it? I mean, was that true of anybody here? Okay, you got Lisa and Kendall. Okay, we got, and Greg. And more hands keep reluctantly going up. I mean, you know, God loves you anyway, and I love you. I won't think any worse. But, I mean, there's some people. There's a brother in Orlando. It's really kind of funny. When he was baptized, he had dreads. He had tattoos all over his arm. Most people thought, he ain't going to make it. But he's still around 20 years later, 15 years later, whatever it is, and he ain't going nowhere. He is in it for the long talk. See, time tests us. And in the church, we've been through some stuff.
Right.
We have been
right.
through some stuff. I commend all of you because, and especially I see some who have been out a little longer, not as long as I have, but you're still here. Despite the stuff you've been through, you're still here. I think that's very, very commendable. God wants to do something great. In Psalm 139, and I'll close with this passage, Psalm 139, and this is really my challenge to you. If you really want to take this thing to a whole new level spiritual, I want you to learn to pray this prayer. Psalm 139, verse 23. The psalmist says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me." He actually asked God to test him. He said, "Test me, God, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me." Anything offensive, anything unpure, anything that doesn't give you glory, anything that's not like Christ, anything. He said, "And lead me in the way everlasting." Are you willing to pray that prayer? God, test me. Search my heart. See if there's something there. He says, "Know me, God. Change me, God. Mold me. Make me into what you want me to be." Let me ask you today, brothers and sisters and friends, how are you being tested right now? What are you going through? You know, God allows us to be tested so that he can mold us and make us into what he wants us to be. Abraham passed the test. I've had some that I've passed over the course of my life. I've had others where I haven't done so well. But you need to ask yourself, what is God trying to tell me? How am I being tested? How are you dealing with it? Are you being righteous? because I really believe God will do something great if we can just pass these tests that He sends our way. Everybody's going to face times of testing. My prayer is that God will give you the strength to endure.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's say a prayer. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be together today.